This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God add and enrich to our hearing and reading of his word. All right? So, let me get myself over here. I'm barely moving because I'm hurting, but it's all good. So, everybody doing okay? Everybody hit that point yet that you're a little chaotic about the Christmas season? Anybody way ahead of what you got to do and how you got to do it and what you want to do with it? Let me move some stuff around here. You will be by next week when I start announcing, you know, you only got almost just a week left. And everybody go, ah! Right? We got a little bit of time. We're still a little bit slacking. We can go, okay, we can handle this. But we're going to, as you can see, we are going to talk about this. We started this series a couple weeks ago and then took a break to share some of the other things that we needed to share last week about what's in your hand. It was an important message for the life and ministry of this church. And today we're going to get back to Christmas chaos. I got to tell you, I was really wondering, do I want to continue this? And then it just seemed like the more and more this week went on, the more chaotic things got. And I thought I had more time than I did to do certain things, and it turned out that it didn't. And yesterday I had a lot of stuff to do to get ready for today. And I had to sit upright with a bad back rather when I really wanted to be, take some Flexrel and some 800 milligram Motrin and lay down and go into oblivion. You know what I mean? But we can't. There's too much to do. Am I right? How many got plans today? Anybody going to be one of the crazy shoppers today? Anybody going to do the Santa pictures and other kinds of stuff today? Okay. All right, a lot of different things. Somebody going to cram that in the next 2 weeks? All right, somebody, I see some people saying, yeah, you better. Okay, here we go. So, Christmas chaos. If you remember in that first day, that was where I said, to make sure you don't miss Jesus in the Christmas season. Anybody remember that from a couple weeks ago? And at that time, I asked you to add something to this busy schedule. You said, Jack, you're talking about chaos, and you want me to add something? And remember what I asked you to add. If you weren't here or if you forgot, there you go. Right at the bottom of your bulletin, rediscovering the Christmas season through YouVersion. You can follow the Christmas story all the way through, and it has some really cool things. If you do it as a family, they had some things this week where you can make snowmen. And I maybe want some snow outside. So I could be like, wouldn't you like to get just have like a day where you're just stuck inside? Anybody like a day where they just like say, you got to stay inside? Nobody? I think that's good. Remember like when we were younger, how nobody had plows and you were stuck in for like a week or two? Now that's a little too much, you know what I mean? But that when the snow's just falling down, it looks really pretty and you just kind of are stuck inside. Isn't that kind of fun that sometimes just not have to be rushed? It's like the world stops when we get to those points. But for many of us, so I ask you to add that. I hope many of you have been doing that. It's been really good just to really keep Jesus in the season. If you haven't, if you got behind, don't worry. They have a little catch-up button, and it catches you up. And it's not a ton of reading, but it also gives you some good devotion. So if you don't have a smartphone, you can get on the internet and look up YouVersion or type in that exact address down there, and you can connect and do that. It's a really cool thing. So, but today I want to talk about more chaos, and we lit the candle of joy today. As we lit the candle of joy, I would dare say that in this room that some of us have some challenges in life. And during this season, Statistically, you know, people get more depressed during this season than any other time of the year. What happened to, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? Usually it's like, it's the most depressing time of the year. I have no money and I got too many slackers that want to come over. So I've got to go ahead and bake apple turnover or something, I don't know. You know, there's something about it, we just get a little stressful, and this is, the calendar ticks down. Like many of us, instead of using the Advent calendar as it was created to be really excited and joyful, you know, because some of us, like, have all these plans, we're going to bake cookies, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then it's like, ah! Right? And then we're like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Oh, we need to do this. And this week, some of the sickness hit our house, you know? And so, it didn't hit me, but what else is hitting some other people? Some of you may have physical challenges that are occurring. You may have just the physical challenges of having to go to parties, right? We went to Melissa's work party the other night. It was great. I saw somebody I hadn't seen in several years, and they started playing Miami Sound Machine. That you're old enough, you remember Gloria Estefan, Estefan, and the Miami Sound Machine, right? And they play that song, 1, 2, 3, 4, come on, baby, say. And I was shaking like this, you know, all around the place. And then a couple that I married, I walked over to them and was like this, you know, because I'm just an idiot wherever I go. But I had a lot of fun, you know. But then I got home and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to finish everything, ah, right? But it was fun for those couple hours just to like, 1, 2, 3, okay, you know. Gloria Estefan would have put me in the Miami Sound Machine if she had seen me that day, right? But we have that, we have those kind of things. We have some physical ones. We also have some other physical things. Travel. Were anybody making plans to travel over the river and through the woods? And at grandma's house we go. And if it's not grandma's, it's somebody else. Or worse, am I right, grandparents? Up the interstate and down the side roads to all the grandchildren's house we go. And you got to make sure you're there. And you got to do stuff. And if you aren't going anywhere, you got a lot of preparing to do. And so you're going to do a lot of traveling. Some of you are out shopping. Somebody put on Facebook, a friend of mine yesterday, I love this internet shopping thing. And then you'll be stressing about making sure you get the packages in time. You promised. You'll be going to late night store runs and the stress of late night wrappings and of having secret packages stuffed away. Where when someone goes to a part of the bathroom that they never go in and looks in that cabinet, get away from there! And you're like, whoa, what's in there? Right? It's stressful at times. At times we're like what David said. Listen to David. David is probably the most depressed person in the Bible, if you ask me. He was the most joyous and the one for the heart of God, but he had moments where he had depression and was down. Look at what he says here. This is just one example. He says, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Does that sound like somebody who's excited? Look at it, he continues. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? He's at a low point, isn't he? But wait, he's not done. Is this anybody? I am worn out from groaning all night long. I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. That's a lot of crying. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Anybody ever felt there? But it's the most wonderful time, right? We may have different than physical challenges. We may have relational challenges. We may have had during this last year a friendship that was around for a while, but because it wasn't good, that we broke it off. Anybody ever had those situations? Somebody who's a deep, deep, close friend? I started looking back to Christmases, and I remember spending time and buying gifts for good friends of mine who now I haven't talked to probably in 2 years. Okay? Or you may have a marriage that is breaking or broken, and you're just putting the fake smile on just to go ahead and deal with it for the kids and for everybody else. Or you may have come through that situation and may be in a stronger place in your relational area. You may have a wayward brother or sister that has been written off by everybody else in the family. Anybody have those? And yet there's something about you that just thinks of them and wants them to come back, but you know if they do, they'll ruin Christmas, right? You don't know what to do about it, but your heart still bleeds for them. Or many of you may have lost a loved one. You may have lost one a year ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. I was thinking this week of my grandmothers. My grandfather, the only grandfather I knew and Jill and I knew, by the time I was old enough, he had Alzheimer's and he just kind of wasn't there anyway. And he did all kinds of interesting things that, you know, that was very interesting. But my grandmothers, I knew. We would open up presents in the morning and we had to go down to grandmom's, dad's mom. And we'd have to go down there. My maternal grandmother, my mom, was always at our house the night before and stayed with us. And I remember Christmases of her just being there and getting up and cooking and just the smell of that breakfast food. I remember the one year that I was real little, like about four, and they got the stuff, this will age you, Sizzaline. Remember that? And that stuff smelled horrible. It actually smelled like urine. And they were yelling at me saying, I peed myself. I did not pee myself. I will let you know that. But, you know, I remember those memories. I remember just the joy. And then when running into the door and my cousins are there and they would always break my toys. So the ones I didn't want broken, I'd hide, you know. You remember these things? And yet, I remember that right before my junior year in college, how my grandmother got sick and died right before Christmas. I remember coming back in a snowstorm, and I remember that she was a character, let me tell you. And I remember that she actually every year would give my dad what she called seat covers, and they were boxer shorts. And I remember dad opened a present that said from somebody special. And he opened up, and it was boxer shorts. And he cried over boxer shorts, you know? But it's because of what it meant right there. I remember that. I remember just my grandmother not being there and expecting her to come in. And we have a brunch at our house on Christmas, and she would come in the door in her 90s and just start cooking and cleaning and everything else. And then when she's not there, when you get to Christmas, you still miss that, don't you? You've all experienced loss like that. It may have been this year. It may have been 5 years. It may have been 20 years. But it still leaves that relational challenge. Am I right? There may be, it's a chaotic, there's all these chaotic challenges. It may be financial challenges. You may need a job now, as Stephen mentioned, or you may have needed one throughout the whole year and the stress is really hitting. Or you may have a job, but it doesn't allow you to be creative, doesn't allow you to be who you really dreamed and feel like you should be. And you feel like you're just stuck. But I want to tell you something that I find out in the Christmas story. Don't worry, we're going to get to that. Is that it's during these chaotic moments in life that God shows up. And you can see this time and time again. This is when God loves to show up. Let's look at the first Christmas. We like to sing songs, don't we? Silent night, holy night. We like those songs, don't we? They're good songs. We like, oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see. We like things nice and quiet and lullaby-ish. Remember what I shared a couple weeks ago? The population had quadrupled, if not more, in the town. It was hustle and bustle. They were having a baby in a stall. The whole thing leading up to this was chaotic. Mary, who is a virgin, who's pledged to be married, has this Gabriel guy, who's an angel, come and say, guess what? Lucky you, you're pregnant. Excuse me? That seems pretty chaotic, considering she could have been stoned to death because of it. Doesn't seem like old little town of Bethlehem how still, does it? They even sent her away. Found out her old barren cousin was pregnant now and was well advanced. It was chaos all around. But in the midst of that, God showed up. God showed up. So what about this guy named Joseph? Here he is. This guy named Joseph. Think about him for a second. Let's look at this verse from Matthew chapter 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. What does that mean? She was pledged to be married. She was engaged. Ah, the plot thickens. But before they had come together, everybody got that? Everybody got that? I don't have any diagrams or pictures up there for you, okay? Before they had come together, she was found to be pregnant, be with child through the Holy Spirit. Whoa! Now, keep in mind, they had never been alone together. You went with a chaperone everywhere. Walked around everywhere. The chaperone probably, if you wanted to hold hands, you probably had to hold the chaperone's hands. That's how it was then. Can you imagine one day the chaperone is with them? They're pledged to be married. They're walking along, and it's a nice day in Bethlehem. Mary's had this Gabriel come to her and starts to talk and says, Joseph, got something to tell you. Let me wrap your mind around this. I've got something to tell you here. Let's place ourselves there. I'm going to have a child. Joseph says, you're so funny. Oh, that's one of the things I love about your sense of humor. No, I'm not. I'm serious. You see, we live so much. We know chapters 2 and 3, don't we? They didn't. Do you think that was a chaotic time finding out that your fiance? Now, I know we live in a Springer world where we're used to everything. But guess what? They weren't. And imagine how that hit him and tore out his heart. And she says, oh, but here's the good thing. It's from the Holy Spirit. And he says, what? Yeah. Joseph wasn't alone with her. But when she's saying she's with child, somebody was. Is that chaos? Let me ask you, anybody who's been engaged, what if your significant other told you there was a child on the way? But that's okay. It's God's. You buying that? See, we buy it because we know chapters 2 and 3 and we know the rest of the book, but they didn't. Complete chaos and turmoil in their lives. But guess what? In the midst of this, God shows up. You see, Joseph, we learn now, as we look at our sheet, the first thing was they were living in chapter 1. And many of us forget, we'd love to live in chapters 2 and 3, wouldn't we, when we have it all figured out? So if you're going through a chaotic time right now, or a time where it doesn't seem much joyful, recognize that chapter 1 is not the full story. Chapter 1 is the chaos that makes God show up. And when we get to chapter 2 and 3, we find out some more things. Let's continue on here. Joseph in verse 19, here's what he wants. He wants a way out. Do you blame him? Imagine what's going on. He's a well-respected businessman. He's a guy who pledged himself to be married to this great girl. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant with God's kid. Yeah, right, I'm buying that one. I got to find a way out. How do I know that? Look at what the scripture says here in verse 19. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, here's your question. Why is he divorcing somebody who's engaged? Because when you were engaged back then, it was legally binding. And you had to go through a divorce process. And he wanted to do it quietly. He could have said, here's what she did, had her killed, had her, anybody remember the scarlet letter? That and worse. Okay? But guess what? In the midst of all this stuff, God decides to show up. How does he show up? Verses 20 through 21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And Yeshua, or Jesus, means he saves. Imagine the chaos of Joseph's life. First, he gets the worst news he possibly can. Then he gets an angel showing up in his dream. Imagine how that was going on. Let's look at the rest of this verse, and then I'll give you another blank to fill in. The next one says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he was completely freaked out. Is that what your Bible says? That's what I would do. I mean, too much. TMI. I shouldn't have got out of bed this morning. Wouldn't you have been a little freaked out with this, right? I would have been majorly freaked out. I mean, if Melissa comes home and tells me she's pregnant, I'm going to drop anyway. You know what I mean? But if she tells me it's from the Holy Spirit, I'm really going to drop. You know what I mean? Because not only did he not believe her at first because he was going to divorce her, but second of all, when he buys into it, then it carries a whole other way. You are chosen to raise the Son of God. It's an awesome enough responsibility raising children, isn't it? But to raise the Son of God? Wow. Amazing. You see what happens when God shows up, and I had those blanks there. God shows up is the third one, but the fourth one is when God shows up, he gives reason and purpose to what goes on. When God shows up, there is a reason and a purpose. He begins to put the pieces together. Chaos is complete. Everything all over the place. And many of you, that's how your wrapping area looks like, right? Cut, throw, ribbons, all over the place. Usually my office looks like a bomb went off in it. You know, it's insane around this time of year. And just everywhere, stuff's everywhere. Is that anybody else? Okay. But often, many of our lives look that way. Not only this time of year, but each and every time of the year. Looks like boom, and we're here, there, we're everywhere. We don't know what we're doing. We're up, down, we're in and out. We just don't have a clue. And we wonder why our lives are chaotic. But when we stop and get still for a moment, you notice God couldn't talk to him when he was probably mad. God had to wait till he got still, and when he got still, then God showed up and gave purpose to what was going on here. He gave him complete purpose in what was occurring. You see, there's a chaos in life. As I said, and it says on the top of your sheet, the first Christmas was a Griswold Christmas. How many of you like Christmas Vacation? You know what Griswold actually means? Yes, I looked it up. Griswold means a gray forest. And I started saying, wow, that's really good. Because anybody ever seen a gray forest? Me neither. But I can imagine it. You know, when you walk through the forest, there's always so much to look at and see, and you wander and you go through. Anybody's gone through a forest, you can see a lot of different things, a lot of different colors. But a gray forest, anybody ever gotten lost in a forest? Like some forests you can get really lost in, and you wander around. Like they had that movie yet several years ago, the Blair Witch thing, and they couldn't get out. And like, follow a stream and get out. Come on, please. But you know, some people, if you've ever been lost, it's scary. And if you're wandering around, now imagine a gray forest. What does gray tell you about? What is it about gray? Huh? Doom and gloom? What else? Hopeless? What else? Depressing? What else? Dismal. You know, gray is like, well, you know, I have some gray stuff that I like, but it's like when you see somebody, like somebody who walks in with something red, you go, wow. But like a lot of times, like I'll wear gray. And people don't, and I've never had somebody come up to me and go, wow, I love that shade of gray. You know? And when you put gray, if I wanted you to describe your life with a color, how many of us would say our life is gray? And a gray forest is that you're just kind of lost and extra bland. And I thought that was interesting with Clark Griswold, because I love this movie. I think this is like a hilarious thing because we all have Cousin Eddies in our family, don't we? We all have the whole entire family. I think that's why it touches us so much. The prayer where she says the Pledge of Allegiance is one of the greatest things ever. And many of us have had turkeys where they looked wonderful and we cut them open and we got to choke it down with lots of something. You know what I mean? Anybody ever sat down and grandma or somebody put something on the table and you better eat it? Or aunt, somebody put it there and it tastes like it has cat food in it? Right? So when we look at Clark Griswold here, there's some things that I learned from him that also Joseph displays and doesn't display. When we look at this gray forest, Clark Griswold wanted what? What did he want more than anything? An old-fashioned family Christmas. I was going to get a shirt, but they only had a small. I think Jeff has one. I should have called you and told you to wear it, Jeff. But he wanted to have an old-fashioned family Christmas together. He got that, but the family was just out of control, am I right? And very humorous. And one of the things, the first thing that we learn not to do from Clark Griswold is this. Do not fall apart when your plans do. One of the things that steals our joy and our happiness, because we're going to talk about the difference. But one of the things that steals our joy in life is we let, when our plans go awry, it steals our happiness. The second thing is, do not let others steal your joy. You've got them in your mind, don't you? And I'm not just talking about your family. When you go out shopping and you're doing, and you've got the constraints and the circumstances that are playing on you during the season, and you are rushing, there will be at least three people who will steal your joy. They will be playing Joy to the World on the loudspeaker, and you will want to choke the person. Am I right? They will do something. People act like they own every space they walk in. Am I right? And you get upset because you realize that's your space that you own that they've stepped in. And you want the Hallelujah Chorus to play. And I will tell you how we get this mixed up, that when there is a line that opens that has been closed, you will knock an old lady over and trample on little kids to get in line to get out first. Am I right? And if it's not you, somebody else will. All to make sure they get to Christmas and go on and to the next place. And yet we lose Jesus in all this. But in this chaos, in this whole chaotic stuff that we call the Christmas season, God shows up. God shows up. Let's show how a little bit example how Clark kind of lost it a little bit. And tell me if you've ever felt this way. You ever felt that way? Anybody? You ever felt that way? You got somebody on your list you want wrapped up under your trees, or you can tell them, don't we? And in the midst of this chaos, guess what? What happens? God shows up. From the first Christmas to every day, God still shows up in the midst of our chaos. If we just look for him. You see, what we're dealing with is happiness versus joy. Two totally different concepts. And I believe this is one of the most mistaken things in the Christian journey and in life, period, is we mess up happiness and joy all the time. Happiness and joy. What do you mean by this, Jack? Let me give you a definition. Happiness. Happiness hinges on what happens. Happiness hinges on what happens. As a matter of fact, we get the word happiness from happenstance, which means circumstance. Guess what? That song, I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time, is a lie. And if you are, you will make somebody else unhappy. You cannot possibly be that happy. Is anybody happy all the time? I am outright, upright, downright, inright, not happy all the time. Matter of fact, I'm rather frustrated a lot of the time. Anybody with me? And when I meet other people who tell me they're happy and I know they're not, they frustrate me even more. And then I say, why am I so, I don't have any joy. But that's not their fault. That's my fault. Because happiness, yes, is circumstance, is happening. But guess what? Joy, you've heard this one before. Joy is a choice in the heart and the mind, right? But I'm going to add something else to you. Joy is a gift from God. Nobody can steal my gift that my daddy in heaven gave to me if I'm doing it right and if I've received it right. We've all heard, you know, joy is a choice. It's a heart and mind. I agree with that, but because it's a choice to open my present and use it. But guess what? God gave me the gift of joy. How do I know that? Look at your verse. It's from Galatians. It's right underneath where it says, in order to have joy in your life, you must. We'll hit that in a second. But look at the verse here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a fruit. I can't say to myself, I want a banana. I'm going to make a banana. I'm going to make myself bananas all day. I can't because it's not of my fruit. The fruit that I get comes from a banana tree. If I want a banana. If I want an apple, where do I get it from? If I want a cherry, where do I get it from? If I want a kumquat, I don't have a clue. Right? Oranges, orange tree, you get the picture. So if I want true happiness, I need to get it from the Holy Spirit, from God. And guess what? Guess how I get it? I get it this way. In order to have joy in my life, I must submit and surrender my life to God and to the Holy Spirit. If I'm trying to control every ounce of my life, I'm never gonna have joy. You know why? Because joy is not a fruit of my life, of my existence. Misery is. Joy is my daddy's fruit. Love is my daddy's fruit. And he gives that to me for gifts, for allowing him to be the one that takes control of my life. You see, we're gonna get really real here right now. Just because God shows up does not mean that it's going to get easy. If you read the rest of the Christmas story, it gets worse. They go to Bethlehem, no room. Go out to the barn, have a baby. Afterwards, they finally get into a place. Guess what? Herod decides he wants to kill them all. They have to go to Egypt. They have to come back. You know, the story continues, even after Joseph's death, to the fact that Mary has to see her son beaten and crucified. Does that seem like a happily ever after story? But guess what? God showed up. Just because God is with you does not mean that your life will be happy and blissful. But it will be joyful. You see, joy does not come from a perfect attender. It doesn't come from the perfect model Christian. It doesn't come from being raised in a Christian household. It's not produced on our own. It is from God Himself. In order to have joy in our lives, we must submit our lives and be surrendered to the Holy Spirit, as I said. To move from happiness to joy, I must move myself from my own fleshly desires and to be led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, as a Christian for many years and as a pastor, sometimes the easiest thing seems the hardest thing to do. To just let go and let God control my life. When is the last time I've ever woken up and pulled out my smartphone and I pulled out my calendar and I've sat and I looked at my day and say, God, I know what my calendar is, but I want you to lead every step. And before I do absolutely anything, I'm going to ask you to take control of that. And then I end up through the day feeling like I don't have joy. Well, no wonder. No wonder. I have to say this, and I want you to really get this today. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here. Because we will leave here today. We'll be moved by the songs that we sang. You may be moved by the message and about how at chaotic times you'll say, God shows up. You'll have chaos this week. God shows up. And you'll say, I'm going to be the darndest, happiest person when it kills me. And guess what? It will. if we don't surrender our lives to Christ and allow him to bring joy. Because I guarantee you, you will be miserable this week if you've seen the people I have out there. If you run into me while I'm doing my thing, you will be miserable. You cut me off on the road, you will definitely be miserable. And that'll make two of us, right? You cannot, you will try to conjure up joy in your busy, hectic lives, and you and I will fail time after time. You'll try to be happy all day long. You can pull happiness off. We can pull happiness off, but not joy. See, joy transcends all those circumstances. Did you see what that video said today, the first one? Joy and sorrow go together. Wasn't that weird? A joy and sorrow. You know, I've done several funerals over the last couple weeks, and one of the things I've seen is that in the midst of the sorrows, one of the things I love to be able to do at funerals is to have people smile and be joyful and laugh. Some of you, I've done some for your families, and you've seen that. But you know what? It's not me, but it's just God bringing that fruit of joy in that moment to say, this is an important life. And we're hurting. Yeah, we're not happy. But we're joyful that we had that person in our lives. And God's joyful that you invite him into your life as well. In the Bible, we have several people. We have a guy named Moses. We talked about him last week with a burning bush. We talked about him at Disciple, and we talked about him with his Red Sea thing. Remember him? He gets to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and them are coming, and the people, all millions of people start to say, would you bring us out here to die? And they want to kill him. I'm sure he went at the point saying, yay, I'm happy you gave me these guys. God, woo, I love them. No, what did he say? He took his staff, the thing that was in his hand. Remember that from last week? The thing was in his hand, and God did a miracle at that point. Then we have a guy named David. David and Goliath, we talked about them last week. We talked about Goliath moments. Another group that we didn't talk, three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember them? They would not bow down. They would not worship the other gods. Nebuchadnezzar threw them in a furnace. Threw it in so hot that the people were throwing them in were burned up and died. That's hot. And as we look at this, what does all this mean? Why are you telling me these Old Testament stories? Because what it means when we look at Moses is when our back is against the wall and you feel trapped, God shows up. It tells us that when it's against all odds and you're facing that giant in your physical circumstance, you're facing that giant in your financial circumstance, you're facing that giant in your relational circumstances, guess what? God shows up. And last but not least, when the heat's on. You ever had the heat on and you know people are watching your life to see how it's going to work out? They're saying, there's no way they're going to get out of this. There's no way they're going to stay together. There's no way they're going to pull themselves out of this financial rut. There is no way, no way this is going to happen. God shows up. Anybody had a helpless situation over the last 2 years? Did God show up? Was it joy? Was it happy when you were going through it? But when God shows up, we have joy. It transcends the situation and brings peace and relief. Against all odds, God shows up in our lives. You know, I came to the story, I'd heard it several years ago. As I close this out, we will go ahead and then go to communion. But it's a story that occurred December 24th, 1914, and carried in to the 25th. It was during what is known as the bloodiest war, World War I. Back then, where they had to do trench warfare, and they would be as close to me as to Stephen, and they'd be shooting each other, killing each other, people dying, and you would have to run, and you'd see people drop that you love next to you, that were your comrades. They'd drop, and they'd die, and they just lay there as the shooting occurred. And the story was written that as here you had these different troops, French and Scottish and English and German, that on Christmas Eve, they were yelling back to each other. They were far enough they could yell at each other. And something happened in the midst of this. And I want to show a video. They're going to have to transfer it over to the other side. Andy's going to help transfer it. And I'll show you this video from something called Joyous Noel, a movie. It was an Oscar Award winner about this event. God showed up, and they ended up, then they started singing Adeste Fideles, which we know as O Come All Ye Faithful. And they came out of their trenches. The leaders all came to the middle of what's called no man's land. And they debated about whether they could have a ceasefire, knowing that they could be killed for not killing the enemy. And as the story went on, they agreed to have a ceasefire. They exchanged gifts. They exchanged addresses. They played soccer for days, for a couple days, until the others came in and started bombing them. You see, isn't that awesome? We don't hear that story, do we? We hear about the chaos. We hear the chaos. But guess what? During the bloodiest, most vicious war, when you have people from all these different countries, on December 24th and 25th of 1914, God showed up in a place nobody thought they could. Today, we are reminded that God has shown up. One of the people who was an artist there said, "But however, looking back on it all, I wouldn't have missed that unique, weird Christmas day for anything." I bet you that's what Clark Griswold said, right? "I wouldn't miss that weird Christmas day for anything." You wouldn't miss yours for anything. Why? Because when we are in Christ, we have joy. It's not happenstance, it's joy. And I'm here to tell you that through this, God showed up. And he reminded us, Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't that no mistake? And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me, even though they're hungry, yet shall they have food to eat." And then he told them, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks to God, saying, "Blessed are you, Lord God, creator and ruler of the universe, who gives us fruit of the vine that we may have drink." And as he did so, he began to pass it around and said, "Drink from this, all of you, my blood in the new covenant, for you and for many." You see what Jesus did? When God showed up, he bridged the gap between the trenches. He took no man's land where we can't go to the Father and bridge that once and for all. That is joy. Am I right? Is that joy? That we aren't bound by sin and death, but he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. If you can't get joyful about anything, get in with God and get joyful.